Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT Live Specials, episode 306 for Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. Made by Google. Welcome to live streaming coverage here at TWiT of the Pixel announcement, the Made by Google announcement on Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. I'm Jason Howell. I'm here to cover this because, you know, I love Android, all things Android. And another guy that loves all things Android is joining me right off the top here, someone you might be familiar with already, Ron Richards. How's it going, Ron?
Good to be here. I, too, love Android and all things Google, so I wouldn't miss this. So
pledge allegiance to Android or whatever they're going to call it in the next year or so. Maybe Andromeda. I'm not really quite sure.
We'll see.
So the event is sort of just kicking off right as we start this. And I think they started off with kind of a thing with Silicon Valley, HBO Silicon Valley actors. And now they're doing a little skit. But here we go.
Sundar.
Starting off with Sundar Pichai on stage. And a small, tight-knit audience, it looks like.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. We're being joined by many people at global launch events around the world, so welcome to all of them as well. We also have a live stream, and so a lot of folks are joining on the live stream, including Dinesh, I'm told. So welcome to everyone. This space used to be a power station for a chocolate factory in the 1900s, so we have transformed it pretty well, but I'm glad we have such a historic setting as we talk about what we are building for the future. At I.O. earlier this year, we talked about our vision for that future. We're at a seminal moment in computing. If you step back and think about it, computing has always had big shifts every 10 years or so. It all started in the 80s, early 80s, when the personal computer reached the mainstream. It was the first time computing touched the lives of many people, revolutionized the way they work.
In the beginning, there was a PC.
Roughly a decade later, in the mid-90s, the web arrived.
Yeah, I know, right?
It is arguably the biggest platform shift we have seen in our lifetimes. It brought the internet to many more
people. Hyping up whatever they're going to show.
Radically changed industries, fundamentally changed how people interact and connect with each other. About 10 years later, in the mid-2000s, with the advent of smartphone, we had the mobile revolution. That brought computing to probably now around half the world's population. And it's profoundly changing people's lives. And the shift continues. In fact, when I look ahead at where computing is headed, it's clear to me that we are heading, evolving from a mobile-first to an AI-first world.
Yeah, Google's really shown that the last couple of months.
In this world, computing will be universally available.
It's like doubling down on AI entirely,
in the context of a user's daily life.
It's coming.
People will be able to interact with it naturally and seamlessly than ever before. And above all else, it will be intelligent. It'll help users in more meaningful ways. At Google, we are very, very excited about this shift, and we've been working for a long time towards this shift. At the heart of these efforts is our goal to build a Google Assistant. We spoke about the Assistant earlier at Google I.O. this year.
So this is going to lead into home?
The Assistant as a two-way conversation.
I'd love to hear about that first.
A natural dialogue between our users and Google to help them get things done in the real world. The Assistant will be universal. It'll be available when the users need it to help them. And our goal is to build a personal Google for each and every user. Just like we built a Google for everyone, we want to build each user his or her own individual Google. To capture our vision for what the Google Assistant is, we put together a short video. So let's take a look.
I love these videos.
When we started,
the slice of life
for everyone, so that everyone could find anything they need among the millions of bazillions of things in the world. Today, it seems like sometimes it's easy to feel like you need a little help with the stuff just in your own world. Your photos, phone, videos, calendars, messages, friends, trips, reservations, and so on and so on. Wouldn't it be nice if you had some help with all that? Wouldn't it be nice if you had a Google for your world? That's why we're building the Google Assistant.
Hi, Amy. How can I help?
You just ask it what you need. Okay, Google, what do I have to do today? And your assistant understands and helps you out. You can even carry on a conversation with it. How long will it take to get to downtown Chicago from home?
Here you go.
What restaurants are there? Book a table at Cortino Restaurant.
Sure.
And the assistant is always there for you. So if you're on the road, you can ask it where to fill up.
So this is talking more built more
you can ask it to play some music.
About assistant
or
built into the system
friend,
itself and not like what we've seen already, which is kind of like a taste of this
Google.
Inside Allo. This
naturally,
is taking that assistant
right. Anything you share with it
moving
is
it
safe
into the whole
secure.
OS for the most part.
And the more you use your Google Assistant, the more useful it becomes.
It's becoming
remember
a layer on top of Google.
326.
Got it.
And soon, you'll be
the
able
next
to access
phase
it from all
of
sorts
Google
of places.
Now.
So it will be everywhere you are. We made this for everyone. And today, we're making this just for you.
Hi, how can I help?
Meet your Google Assistant.
So as you can see, that's our early vision for how we want to build a Google Assistant. We're just getting started, but in many ways, we've been working hard at this problem ever since Google was founded 18 years ago. We have invested in deep areas of computer science. Today, our knowledge graph has over 70 billion facts about people, places, and things, and we can answer questions based on that. Our natural language processing is what helps us make Google truly conversational with our users. And we've built state-of-the-art machine translation, image recognition, and voice recognition systems.
This really is the convergence
of
everything they've been doing.
Is being turbocharged by the progress we are seeing with machine learning and AI.
Yeah, the entire experience.
A few months ago,
made
we captured
Google.
The world's attention. DeepMind's
at least part of at the
won
core
the
of
world
that
Go
kind
Championship
of marketing message anyway.
Against Lacer et al., one of the finest players of our generation. It showed the external world the moment for AI has arrived. But for us, the progress has been continuous and the strides are huge. In fact, in the 3 months since AlphaGo played that game, we have had meaningful launches and how machine learning is impacting the products we build. Let me talk about three examples, all of which we have talked about in the past 3 months since the AlphaGo moment. First, image captioning. Image captioning is how computers try to make sense of images they look at. And, we first launched our machine learning system in 2014. It was a state-of-the-art system, and our quality was around just over 89%. Our newer machine learning systems now, the quality is close to 94%. 4% may not sound like much to you, but first, it's really hard to increase quality at these levels because we are trying to approach human-level accuracy.
Trust me,
and
this
second,
is a good number.
Every single percentage point translates into meaningful difference for our users. So, for example, if you take a look at the picture behind me, about 2 years ago, we used to understand this picture as a train is sitting on the tracks. Now, we understand the colors, so we describe it as a blue and yellow train is traveling down the tracks.
Do you know if you look at
this picture, 2 years ago, we understood it as a brown bear is swimming in the water. Now, we can count, our computing systems can count, so we understand this is two brown bears sitting on top of rocks. Advances like this is what helps us, when you're in Google Photos, find the exact pictures you're looking for and be a better assistant to you. Another example, machine translation. We've been doing machine translation for a while, and historically, our systems are statistics-based, and we translate at a phrase-by-phrase level. So we translate individual phrases and combine them to form a translation. So if you look at this Chinese to English translation, you can see it makes sense, but it's not quite the way humans would translate it. Just recently, we announced our first end-to-end self-learning, deep learning machine translation systems. Rather than working at a phrase level, they take entire sentences and model sentences as outputs. And that's what you see in the middle. and you can see it is approaching human-level translation. You can look at this quantitatively, and you know we have a way to measure these things quantitatively. And if you look at our previous phrase-based system, it was quite far from the human system, and we closed a significant gap with our new machine learning systems. In fact, the progress for Chinese to English is so significant. Last week, we rolled it out in production. And so today, if you pick the Google Translate app, mobile app, and try to translate from Chinese to English, you're using our newer machine learning systems. And the progress has been amazing.
Photos and translation have both been an awesome kind of example of the power of AI that all the companies right now are trying to harness, but that Google is doing a really great job of, because they're putting it, it's not just the stuff that happens in a strange way behind the scenes and you don't really recognize the value of it. Like, searching through photos, that's amazingly useful to go in there and have just an object in mind and do a search and have the machine learning, the AI behind the scenes, pull up something meaningful for you. So they really put it to use for the user, and I think that's what's really important.
As natural as possible for you.
Total game changers.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Trudeau is the Prime Minister of Canada.
So this is text-to-speech. The way we do it today, we get a speaker into our recording studios. We record them for thousands of hours. We make them say short phrases and then combine them to be as natural sounding as possible. Again, deep learning is showing the way. DeepMind just published a paper with a new technology called WaveNet. It's a deep learning model where rather than modeling phrases, they actually model the underlying raw audio waves to generate a much more natural sound.
Yeah.
You can again see the WaveNet model is getting much closer to human speech. To me, the reason this gets exciting is today all we can do is a single voice for the assistant for all contexts. Doing this is what will enable us to have multiple voices, multiple personalities, get the assistant to differentiate between German and Swiss German, and one day even capture emotions when speaking to you. This is key to our vision for building an individual Google for each user.
It's like,
and
the
more
GPS
importantly,
voices.
The assistant will continuously get better as we make progress with machine learning and AI. It is early days, but we are committed to this vision, and we are working on it. We are going to work on it for a long time. But it's equally important to get the assistant in the hands of our users, and that's what today is about. In fact, we started doing it about 2 weeks ago with our new messaging app, Google Allo, in which users can invoke the Google Assistant in group conversations. And the early reception has been great. They are interacting with it very naturally, asking us questions we expected, like, tell me a joke, but also questions we didn't expect, like, what is the meaning of life?
I feel like early reaction to Allo has been, everyone that I seem to talk to and hear, you know, about their impression of Allo has been, like, I have to get, you know, I'm not in the habit of using it, neither is anyone else. Why am I going to use this? Maybe once all of this assistant stuff is more kind of placed throughout more products, maybe then Allo becomes more useful. Maybe then people understand kind of the syntax, the reasons why, and whatever, and that becomes the thing that switches them over. I'm not sure.
Because that's really the killer app of all this, is the assistant.
Yeah, right.
And without using it, you're not going to really realize the power of it.
Right. Rick Osterloh.
Good morning. I'm
Motorola
Rick.
Chief.
There
it's
is.
An honor
there
to be
is.
Here today representing
Looking
the hard
casual.
Work of so many of my colleagues.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I've been doing hardware for a long time, and even I smile like a kid every time I get to unbox a new gadget. Since I joined Google, one of the questions I get asked most often is, why should we build hardware? I mean, we often joke that building hardware is, well, hard. People have strong emotional connections to the products they rely on every day. They're an important part of our users' lives. But the rise of volume and complexity of all the information makes it so that this is the right time to be focused on hardware and software. Let's think about that for a moment. At the peak of film photography, 80 billion photos were captured every year. But last year, thanks to smartphones, 1 trillion photos, 1 trillion Jeez. Photos were taken. Communications has gotten similarly complex. 328 billion items were delivered by the post office last year. And that's compared to 50 trillion emails and mobile messages. And today, people want more than 1,000 songs in their pocket. What they want, is the entire world's music collection with them at all times. These informational changes mean that technology needs to be smart and just work for you. This is why we believe the next big innovation is going to take place at the intersection of hardware and software, with AI at the center. That's where we have the biggest opportunity to bring people the very best of Google as we intended it. Building hardware and software together lets us take full advantage of capabilities like the Google Assistant. It lets us harness years of expertise we've built up in machine learning and AI to deliver the simple, smart, and fast experiences that our users expect from us. And it allows Google to be helpful to people wherever they need us, no matter what the context or form factor. As you'll see today, we're building hardware with the Google Assistant at its core, so you can get things done without worrying about the underlying technology. Our devices just work for you, whether you're at home,
it just
with
works.
Family, commuting to work, out for a jog, or spending time with friends. This is something that Google has always stood for. Hardware isn't a new area for Google, but now we're taking steps to showcase the very best of Google across a family of devices designed and built by us. This is a natural step, and we're in it for the long run. You're going to hear much more from our team in the coming months and years to come, and we have lots in store for you today. So let's get started. First, with phones.
So the assistant is going to be the positioning of all these devices.
They rarely leave our side. They're literally
kind of the link between them. At least we know that with phone, and we know that with home.
So today, beyond that, I'm not really quite sure. To a new phone made by Google.
I don't know what else ties into that.
Pixel.
All right, so now we know Pixel. We've heard already that Pixel is the new branding. Pixel denotes more or less a more consumer focused product line, as opposed to Nexus, which is very focused on developers.
That name might sound familiar to you.
And other stuff behind the scenes.
It's always represented the best of hardware and software designed and built by Google. Let me tell you a little bit more about Pixel. We designed everything about Pixel, from the industrial design to the user experience. Everything is simple and easy to use, something Google has always stood for. I really love how this phone looks and feels. The rear glass creates a bold, iconic element that gives Pixel personality and character. The polished aluminum case gives the phone a distinct look. And there's a subtle wedge from the top to bottom that keeps it thin where your hand most naturally grips it.
Purely selfish reasons, I'm happy the body is mostly aluminum and not fully glass.
Agreed.
I am deaf to fully glass phones, I've come to realize.
It's how the hardware and software work together.
It looks nice.
It's the perfect example of how the best of Google smarts combines to make a great, simple user experience. So today, we're going to tell you about 5 things. First, we're excited to announce that Pixel is the first phone with the Google Assistant built in.
There it is, yep.
Second is Pixel's terrific photography experience. Third is how we use Google Cloud so you never run out of space for those great photos.
Uh-huh.
Fourth is how we let people talk to each other much more easily, no matter what operating system or device they use.
The Duo icon.
And finally, is how Pixel is made for mobile virtual reality. To tell you more about Pixel,
I'm happy we're going to hear about Daydream.
I'd like to invite my colleague, Brian, to the stage.
So one thing I should say about this, leading up to this, one thing that I've felt a little weird about is made by Google and then knowing that there was some sort of HTC involvement. Mark Gurman on Bloomberg has a post about this and basically says that HTC, there's custom work underneath. HTC is kind of playing the role of Foxconn, let's say, in the realm of Apple. But this was entirely designed by Google, sourced part, you know, all that kind of stuff. HTC just helped in the same role that Foxconn would.
They're just the factory. Just the manufacturer.
Yep. Yeah.
The first thing you'll see with the new Pixel launcher is round icons, access to all of your apps, just a swipe.
Round icons.
Yep.
And a clean, polished look.
Look at that app draw.
And like Rick said, Pixel is the first phone with the Google Assistant built in. Having the Assistant with you all through your day makes so many tasks incredibly easy.
If you remember to use it.
You can just touch and hold the phone's home button or say the hot word, and the assistant jumps into action. Whether you're on your home screen or in any app, you can always ask your assistant for information or help with tasks. So let me show you how it works. Getting ready for today's launch, I've been spending a little bit more time at the office than usual, so I'm looking to plan something with family. And fall is such a great time in the Bay Area, I can get some ideas for the weekend with a long press of the home button and by saying, "Show me my photos from last October."
"Take a look at these pictures from your Google Photos."
That's pretty cool, right? With a quick voice command, my assistant found just the right pictures from my Google Photos collection. And it doesn't just work with dates. You can search for people, places, and things, too. Okay, so this concert at the Greek Theater at UC Berkeley was pretty fun. So let's see what shows are coming up. "Show me upcoming events at the Greek Theater in Berkeley."
Live demo.
"Hearst Greek Theater."
Crossing fingers.
"Borns and Rayland Baxter, the headed in the heart and the tallest man on earth, Chance the Rapper, and Lauryn Hill and Nas."
So let's talk about what just happened there. Not only did the assistant recognize the venue I asked about, but it was able to serve up relevant information thanks to Google's knowledge graph. Okay, it looks like the Lumineers are playing. I like their music, but I don't know if I've heard their latest stuff. Play me a song by the Lumineers.
"Playing music."
Now, the assistant knows I like to listen to music on YouTube, so that's the app it opens up. All right, looks like that will be a pretty fun concert. But let's see if my wife even remembers who I am after 3 weeks.
Doesn't take very long.
Text Lisa.
"Text Lisa Rokowski. Sure. What's the message?"
"Want to go see the Lumineers in Berkeley on Friday?"
"Want to go see the Lumineers."
"Got it. Do you want to send it or change it?"
"Send it."
Good. Look at that. Yeah, okay. See that?
Message.
"Want to go see."
Now, I just sent that message as an SMS, but the assistant also works with other messaging apps like WhatsApp and Viber.
So I'm assuming you can set this all behind the scenes.
Instead. Yep. So it looks like she responded. Thankfully, she wants to go, and she's recommending we get dinner at Marzano first. I haven't been there before.
Not an aloe,
more info.
By the way.
Now, watch this. The assistant can also help get information based on what's on my screen. So I'll do the same long press gesture on home, and then swipe up to get contextually relevant information.
Oh, there's this.
Basically now on tap, whatever the new...
Yep.
So here's what just happened.
Yeah.
The assistant recognized the restaurant in Lisa's text message and assembled all this useful information into a single card from the apps I have installed on the phone. I didn't have to say or type a single word. So let's get some more information from Google Maps. There's the location. You can swipe up. Check out some pictures. Okay, it looks pretty good, see if it's close enough to the concert.
By the way, no mention of Google Now.
How far is it from the Greek Theater in Berkeley?
The next phase. Yeah. Google Now as a thing that we refer to all the time is no more.
"If you drive, Marzano is 6.4 miles away from the Greek Theater."
Again, the assistant understood the context of my screen to answer my question. So it's a pretty quick drive. It will totally work. Let's get a reservation.
How far is it from the Greek Theater?
"Make a reservation at Marzano for Friday."
Sure, let's make a reservation at Marzano with Open Table. How many people in your party?
2 people.
It also gives quick answers down at the bottom. Like
6 p.m.
Okay, I've completed the reservation, so you're all set. Look for an email confirmation from Open Table with all the details.
So
that's just a glimpse of how the Google Assistant works.
It's pretty cool, to be honest.
Yeah, the piece by piece kind of like linear aspect of it is very useful. Again,
it's
all about syntax and understanding how you use it going into. It takes a little bit of practice to do that, I think. It seems easy when you see someone demonstrate it, but then when you go to do it, it's like your brain is a little detached when you do it the first few times.
And we'll show you how it works in other contexts later, too. The Google Assistant on Pixel is a great example of how hardware and software come together beautifully. Another is the camera. So there's actually an industry group, DxOMark, that rates camera quality in almost all popular DSLR and smartphone cameras on the market. These guys are just obsessed with cameras, lenses, and image quality. DxOMark. We're proud to report that Pixel received a rating of 89. That's the highest rating ever for a smartphone.
See the pictures. So on the tease for this,
let me just put that score into context.
You saw the little phone with the images on the inside. Those images look pretty darn good.
The best smartphone camera anyone has ever made.
The question was, did they come from the Pixel?
So how do we achieve this?
So 89, besting the iPhone 7 by 3 points based on that rating.
The last year designing and tirelessly optimizing the entire camera stack. Pixel has a 12.3 megapixel rear-facing camera and featuring an f/2.0 aperture and big 1.55 micron pixels to capture significantly more light than other cameras. The camera on Pixel is just excellent. Our amazing camera team has written some incredible on-device software algorithms that do things you just can't do with great hardware alone. For instance, Smart Burst is a feature that lets you capture just the right moment. By holding down the shutter button, you can capture a continuous stream of images and let Google Intelligence select the sharpest, clearest photo of just the right moment. And then there's HDR Plus. It's built to work in any light, so you get clear, vivid pictures, even in challenging conditions. All the pictures you see here were taken on a Pixel.
Were they post-processed?
Now, traditional cameras use a single long exposure in low light. But HDR Plus splits that into multiple short exposures.
Oh, wow.
Aligning them algorithmically and then combining
each pixel.
Yeah, that's a challenging
shot right there. Yeah.
This technique reduces noise, minimizes blur, and gives you extended dynamic range. As in this example, preserving both the dimly lit people in the foreground and the beautiful sunset behind them.
Okay, and I think a lot of these.
So HDR Plus clearly improves image quality.
I can't really tell exactly if these are taken
and with
from
Pixel,
that kind of carousel.
The camera uses HDR Plus
I
by
think
default,
what they're saying here
because
is that
there's
what you
zero
saw in
shutter
advance
lag
was taken with the Pixel.
That's a big deal. And it processes images twice as fast, so you can keep shooting rapid fire. Now, just as important as capturing great photos is the speed of the camera app.
Yeah.
We know this is really important.
That's an understatement of the year.
We don't want you to miss always the moment while your camera gets itself
always
ready.
A request and always a point that's
I'm really
brought
proud
up.
To say that our camera
I feel like
has
after
a shorter
while, it always
capture
proves
time
itself incorrect,
than any smartphone but, camera yep. we've tested. Which makes action shots like this possible.
We have another visitor to the show, Stacey Higginbotham. How's it going, Stacey? It's good to have you here.
It means that videos turn out smooth.
I am excited to be here.
Even if you're not.
Have you...
let me tell you how this video
so
is captured.
So right now we're just taking a look at the
side.
Phone. This is the starting point. So you haven't missed any of the IoT stuff, the Google
the
Home
left,
or anything. Have you seen anything about these phones coming in?
The one on the right?
I have seen a little bit, yes.
Look at the difference.
Is this your next phone, do you think?
This works by sampling the gyroscope at 200 times a second to figure out exactly how the camera is moving, even accounting for the rolling shutter and instantaneously compensating each part of the image so you can avoid that jello effect you see with other forms of image stabilization.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Of course, Pixel comes with Google Photos built in. So once you've captured the moment with Pixel's powerful camera, Google Photos helps you store, organize, and share all your photos, no matter how goofy they might be. We think people are going to use this camera a lot. So as a special bonus for Pixel owners, we're including free, unlimited storage for photos and videos at original quality. That's wow. all your photos and videos at full resolution, including the rich 4K videos you can take with this phone. So with Pixel, you'll never run out of space for your mouse.
Is that for lifetime, or is that just for a couple of
years? That sounds like, yeah, we're going beyond like terabytes.
And you can say goodbye to those fine storage full pop-ups.
That's nice.
So that was a quick intro to the Google Assistant on Pixel and our new best-in-class camera integrated with Google Photos. Now I'd like to invite Sabrina up to share some more great features of Pixel. But before that, let's watch this new spot from our upcoming campaign.
I was the last year doing full size upload on Google Photos because I thought that I had plenty of drive space. And then I quickly realized like some of that drive space went away because it was a promotional drive space award, and so suddenly I had to kind of ramp it down. So I'm stoked about this. I'd rather save it, full res as opposed to kind of ramping it down.
I am not a huge Google Photos person, even though all their stuff is super. They have some really great features in there. Yeah. I just upload everything to Dropbox because I'm old school about privacy.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Hi, I'm Google Photos has been great. I've had a great time experience with it.
Yeah, I mean, all Google, of the dynamic kind of like AI searching aspects of it just make it, smart you know, and simple. It always comes down to so how much are you willing to give Google for that convenience, and how you do that is by letting them into your world even more. Do you feel comfortable with that? If so, then you get these extra tools.
Let's talk about communications.
Yeah, I'm weird about pictures and video.
I can understand.
Google Duo, our new video calling app, lets you jump into a call with just a single tap. And it comes pre-installed on Pixel. My favorite feature in Duo is called Knock Knock. It shows you a live video stream of the person calling you before you pick up.
People love this.
So you can see who's calling.
Everyone I mentioned Duo to is like,
have
you got a knock knock
face
yet?
My son likes to have fun with this feature.
Like,
now, let's talk about something I know you all
I don't know anyone using
about,
Duo.
The battery.
The thing.
We spent a lot of time optimizing Pixel.
It's a couple parents that I've talked
to.
So people without
FaceTime. Life.
Yeah.
We made sure you can easily get through your day. But for the times when you need a quick charge, like when you're about to head out to dinner and you realize your phone has literally no power left, Pixel can get you up to 7 hours of power with just 15 minutes of charging. So you can be on your way. And of course, Pixel ships with the newest Android operating system, Nougat. Pixel users will get
7.1?
system and security updates as soon 7.1. as they're available directly from Google. Yeah. We've also made the update process easier. When a new update is available, it will be downloaded and installed in the background. This means the next time you restart your phone, you'll instantly be using the new version.
That's how
we
they do
just
it with
take
OS.
Care of it
it's
for
awesome.
You.
Yeah.
Gone are the days of staring at a progress bar while waiting for an update to install. We also want to make sure you feel supported when you're using Pixel. So we've built 24/7 live customer care right into the phone. Ooh. You can reach a Google support agent over phone or chat. And to make it easier for them to understand, how long has it taken them to get to this point?
Well, they had this to a limited degree for Nexus devices. Oh man, what was the name of that app and service?
I forget what it was.
Yeah, they just shut it down. But obviously, they're making room for kind of the next phase of that. So that's what we got here.
You really care about.
Well, that's serious. I mean, we know that's serious. As much as anyone knows about stuff, like I'm still in the support line with Verizon or other carriers every now and then.
Yeah, and especially with the Pixel devices being targeted more at the general consumer as opposed to enthusiasts, I think that's part of the reason why the old version of this really didn't make a whole lot of sense, because the Nexus devices, by and large, were targeted at super geeks, you know, people who knew and, you know, were developing, let's say, or whatever the case may be. This is different. These target different markets entirely.
With custom designs from top artists such as Fail and photographers like Ray Malin and Chris Hadfield. Finally, Pixel comes in two sizes, a 5-inch and a 5.5-inch display. All the great features you've heard about today work on both. And both of these sizes come with all of these amazing hardware specs.
Snapdragon 821 in there. I think this is the first phone with 821. I could be wrong.
Pixel is available in three colors, descriptively named
3450 milliamp hour battery on the XL.
Very silver, and a limited edition, really blue.
Really blue.
I want really blue. It's going to match really my hair.
Blue. Yeah, that really blue looks really blue.
So let's recap the highlights. Pixel is the first phone to ship with the Google Assistant built in. It has the best smartphone camera. It includes unlimited storage for all your photos and videos. It comes with Duo pre-installed. Plus, it's the first phone to be Daydream VR ready. Right. You'll be hearing more about VR shortly.
Great.
Now, where can you get this stuff? Here in the U.S., we're teaming up exclusively with Verizon to bring Pixel to the market.
I win.
We're proud to work with them again.
Exclusively.
We're also excited to be working with many international partners to bring Pixel to the world.
Yeah.
Additionally, Pixel will be available unlocked on the Google Store. And for you Project 5 fans out there, you'll be happy to know that Pixel is the latest device to work on the Project 5 network.
That's surprising.
Pixel starts at $649 or $27 a month on the Google Store here in the U.S. It's available for pre-order starting today in the U.S., Australia, Canada, Germany, and the U.K., and in India starting on October 13th. So that's the new Pixel, the first phone made by Google inside and out.
I think starting at $649, they didn't really tell us what the price for the XL is.
Here's a recap of all the newness of Pixel.
Yeah, so these are pricey phones.
This is a nice phone.
How do you guys feel about an exclusive on Verizon? Like, we knew that the Pixel was going to target carriers. It's kind of like the deal with the devil in order to kind of open it up to everybody.
Yeah, they have to do it.
Yeah. I was saying that they're going to make this get to consumers. They've got to work with the carriers. I don't like that it's just one. I wish it was on all of them. But
that's what bums me out. What were you going to say, Stacey?
No, I was going to say, look how many times they've tried to go circumvent the carriers, and every time they get shot down. So you have to have a carrier deal still in the U.S. for releasing a phone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with the fact that in order to achieve what they want to achieve with these devices, that they have to do that with the carriers. I just wish it wasn't exclusive, and especially exclusive to Verizon. Verizon has not been the best network when it comes to providing, an adaptable, let's say, service for like Nexus devices in the past. Galaxy Nexus on Verizon was one of the worst Nexus devices ever because Verizon, there was such a clampdown on updates. So hopefully Google can get around that. Maybe Google has made a deal with Verizon to allow these updates to hit them immediately.
They must have. I mean, I have my Nexus on Verizon. And actually, when I had some whacked out crazy, I had to reset my, I don't remember, but I spent an hour and a half on Verizon support, and they actually helped me make my phone work again.
Right.
I don't know.
And I'm really excited to get to show you some of the things that we've been working on. Just to say it, we love virtual reality. For us, it's not just a technology. It's not just another screen.
I'm not excited about this.
It's something that we believe is going to be important.
You're not very excited about this?
Unlike anything else we've seen.
I'm curious. I really want to see.
Curious.
Transporting. Yeah. With VR, you can put on some goggles and feel viscerally like you're in another world. It's richer, it's far more immersive, and we believe it will impact how we explore, how we work, how we play, and how we learn. But to create this sense of immersion takes some powerful technology. And my team's goal is to make that technology simpler and friendlier and more accessible. And we've been hard at work doing just that with Daydream, our platform for high-quality mobile virtual reality. Now, Daydream ties together a bunch of things that you need for great VR. Software optimizations, specs for phones, headsets, and controllers, and then the apps and experiences themselves. And all of this in service of creating a healthy VR ecosystem with our partners and with developers. And today we've got news in all of these areas. Let's start with phones. So you just heard about the new Pixel phones, and they are great phones. And as Sabrina said, we've made them great for VR too. We've tuned everything.
They didn't do the thing where they hold up the phone in the room to let everybody see it. It was all promotional video.
Now, of course,
did they say what time it'll be out? I know the pre-order starts today.
They didn't mention when it would ship. It was just pre-order.
Now, the headset is important to get right. mean, after all, it's something that you wear on your head. But we looked out there and we saw some problems. We saw issues with comfort. We saw stuff that's pretty hard to use, pretty complicated. And everything just kind of looked the same. So we looked at all this and we had some ideas. And we have a bit of a different take on the VR headset. And so I'd like to introduce you to Daydream View.
So now here's the hardware that was rumored to be shown off here.
Okay, how is this a different take?
It's the first Daydream-ready VR headset.
It looks like it's made out of
Now,
cloth.
If you're into VR, I'll just say that the specs are there. It has a nice field of view. And with the Daydream phone, low latency and really accurate head tracking. But we didn't just look at the specs. We obsessed over the details of the design. We wanted to make something that's comfortable and really easy to use. And we also thought about how you could make it your own. So first, let's talk about comfort, how it feels, how it fits. Well, you'll notice immediately that it doesn't quite look like other VR headsets.
It's
and that's
cloth.
Because in designing it, we weren't inspired by gadgets.
This was probably where the customization
we looked
comes
at
in.
What do people actually wear? We wear stuff that's soft, stuff that's flexible and breathable.
On their face.
And so we crafted our headset out of that same comfortable
This is the future, Stacy.
Fabrics.
I can't. I'm not on for this.
Microfiber. And other materials that you'd find
microfiber
in clothing
is not for
and
clothing.
Athletic wear.
It's for couches.
In fact, we worked with clothing designers and makers to get the design just right. And the result is something that's soft and cozy and feels great to wear.
Cozy?
The material's really nice. It's also lightweight.
You want to snuggle up with this VR viewer.
And one other thing.
You might fall asleep. It's so comfortable.
Some people need some help. People like me. And so we made sure that the headset fits nicely over eyeglasses.
Oh, okay.
Well,
so that's
nice.
Yeah.
That also helps with, like, eye makeup and mascara and stuff like that. You know, for the ladies or men who like mascara.
To get into VR. Sure. You don't want to think about cables and wires and lots of little clicky things and connectors that you have to get just right. All that stuff just kind of gets in the way. Really, you just want to pop your phone in and be in VR. And that's the way Daydream View works. You open the latch. You drop your phone in, you close the latch, and you're ready to go.
So no connector?
That's it.
How is it sending video?
The headset and phone say hello wirelessly.
I guess it doesn't need to.
So there's nothing to connect.
That was a stupid question.
And the headset includes an auto alignment system.
We'll edit
that out.
It gets
everything just right. So getting into VR is easy.
There's that control.
Welcome to the stream of consciousness for my brain.
And that's where the
Yeah, we got the remote as well. Which I think is a great addition.
The control is really important because when you go someplace, you want to be able to
Simple.
Do things there.
Look at that.
So let's have a look. It's really easy to use. At the top is a clickable touchpad or a couple of buttons. But there's more to it than meets the eye.
Accelerometer.
Hidden inside are a bunch of sensors that respond to how you move. So you can point. You can swing.
Yep.
You can aim. It's so precise that you can draw
with it. It's like the
Wii. You can draw with
your name. So it's really powerful, and we'll have a look at some of the things you can do with it in just a second. Okay, now, what do you do with a controller after you use it?
You throw it away.
You lose it.
No.
You lose it. You lose it in the couch
like
or in the bottom of your bag. We didn't want that to happen. So the controller has a home inside the headset.
Make it magnetic.
When you're done, it just kind of snuggles in there. Like this.
Oh, it's cozy.
Oh, that's
See?
Nice. I like that. I like that.
That is nice.
We worked hard to get right. These little things.
I actually
things,
like the design of the latch, too.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
These little things. It's also.
That feels like it's
very well
stable.
Built.
Unless it's plastic. If it's metal. Well,
these little things that make the whole experience.
It seems like a small thing,
seamless.
But they're making some sort of a point
problem.
About
Everything
the ease of use of dropping
thing.
Your phone, just closing it, whatever. Because anytime you use cardboard, anytime you use Gear VR, I mean, yeah, there's the fiddle factor. It's like you got to get it just right, slide it in there. Oh, man, it just hit the power button and the screen turned off. Got to take it out again, whatever. So, I mean, making it easy. Seems like a small thing, but I mean, if you're using it regularly, it probably adds up to be a big thing.
Things we wear don't come in just one color.
You don't care.
We didn't
think about this on your face. I'm just like, no, this isn't something I'm gonna. The fiddle factor is not the killer. That's not the reason I'm not buying this. Basically.
But I mean, have you spent much? Oh, and they've got different colors: snow, slate, crimson.
Daydream View.
Ron, you're crimson, aren't you?
I would get crimson with the really blue phone.
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
Of course,
Agreed.
What really matters here is what you can do. And there's a lot to show you. And for that, I'd like to invite up Adrian McAllister, our Director of Partnerships. Adrian.
I mean, I think you either enjoy the idea behind VR and you're willing to kind of overlook the goofy factor of the thing on your face.
Hi,
or you don't.
Adrian,
like, I actually am really looking forward to this because I enjoy VR. Have you played around much with VR, Stacey? Like, do you
I get sick in VR.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
So I don't spend too much time in there because...
You're going to be able to explore some really magical
places. Why would you want to if it just makes you sick?
And what's more magical than the wizarding world of J.K. Rowling? I'm excited to announce that we've been working with Warner Brothers to bring an exclusive Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them experience to Daydream.
Your opinion changes.
Yeah,
now you're interested. Like, she loves VR. They go on VR field trips for school.
This looks cool. I want to do this.
When your wand...
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
In it, you're a wizard, and the controller transforms into a wand that you can use to levitate objects and cast spells.
That'll
We're
help.
We're really stoked about this, because don't we all just want to be wizards?
Maybe.
This is what I wanted when I came back
really
from Harry Potter World.
Right.
I have my wand, and I wanted to wave it and do things, but it's IR instead of anything interesting, so I couldn't work with anything else.
Of Star Chart, an app...
Well, now you can.
The solar system and
well, no, now
all
I've got this controller instead of my wand.
Yeah.
With Star Chart on Daydream, it's like having your own personal planetarium where you can fly through the stars and explore new galaxies.
Awesome.
The stars are also an epic place for space battles, and Daydream is going to be a stellar place for games. We're excited about Gunjack 2 from CCP, the makers of Eve. In it, you're in the cockpit of a spaceship where you're defending the fleet against alien ships. You can look all around and then use the controller to aim the ship's lasers anywhere you want to blast those alien ships.
That looks all right.
Back on Earth, for when you want to kick back on the couch and watch something, we've been working with the likes of Netflix, HBO, and Hulu to bring their entire entertainment libraries to Daydream. In VR, you can see it all on the big screen and bring that big screen with you wherever you go.
In a virtual theater.
When you want to turn your attention
this still
to current
be
events,
flat. You can't look around
New York Times
right,
has been
right,
doing
right.
important work in VR documentary and news. They've told us stories that put us alongside soldiers and refugees. In VR, you see the world from their perspective. It's powerful journalism brought into virtual reality. These are just a handful of the experiences that are going to be available. Over 50 partners are bringing apps and games to Daydream before the end of the year, and there are hundreds more on the way.
They just opened up the SDK for anyone to create this content.
We're also bringing the best of Google to Daydream.
Which is a great opportunity for
developers,
by the way.
Their library of shows and films, which you can watch on your own big screen.
Yeah, it's the content that's going to sell this.
Then,
if there's nothing to do on
Google
it, then no one will buy it.
Right, and you get in early. You create good content early. You establish yourself at a... I mean, these are the moments that I think developers look for. A new early on establishing kind of new path to kind of set forward on before everybody else does.
In 70 different countries. And we've built 150 curated tours of the world's most amazing places. So you can feel what it's like to tour the
Taj Mahal.
But again,
this feels like something maybe in a classroom or a school would be useful.
For sure.
For instance,
and they're doing
you can
a little bit of
the Faroe
already.
Islands and see their beautiful rolling fields from the perspective of a sheep, or as our Faroe Island friends like to refer to it,
sheep
view. And finally, YouTube.
Aww. I was about to say, that
YouTube
looks like Ram
on Daydream
view.
Is amazing. To start, you can access the entire library of YouTube videos, regular videos, and watch them on a cinema-sized screen. Your favorites on YouTube have never looked better or bigger. But where the YouTube experience really shines is with 360 and VR videos, where you're not just watching a film, you're in the film. Here's one of my favorites from the London Museum of Natural History. You're standing in the hall of the museum looking all around when all of a sudden dinosaurs come back to life right in front of you.
Oh, weird. All right.
That's fun. But again, it feels... It's like a
educational
movie, which is cool. Yeah. But I can watch a movie on my screen. I don't know. I feel like the content has to be super exciting.
Yeah.
And this may not. I think education's a great place for VR, though.
For sure.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, to make a case for watching anything you could watch on a screen in a virtual cinema, like, I don't know if that's reason enough for me to throw VR on and, like, that would be my preferred way to watch YouTube videos on a virtual cinema screen. Not sure that's the use case, but VR has a lot of other options that are purely unique.
True. I still say there's a huge opportunity in real estate. Huge opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Like when we were renovating, or rather building our house, I would have loved to have had the CAD software just like start putting things up so I could get a sense.
That would be nice.
Pinterest should get in on this. Yeah. So you pull your stuff really in on Pinterest and bring it right in.
A controller that's
powerful and easy to use, and so much to experience. Now, all of this will come together in November when Daydream View and the controller go on sale together for $79.
Wow.
So there it is.
That's a good price.
That is a great high price. Quality
$20 less than the Gear VR.
We're really excited about it.
It looks completely different.
I'd like to turn it over to Mario. Thank you so much.
If you like your VR goggles to be plasticky with a touchpad on the side, you spend $20 more. If you like it to be fabric with a hand controller, you spend $20 less.
I do wonder if they're... Let's talk now. What's the word I'm looking for? Like Scotch-guardable or washable?
All of us are connecting our homes more and more through lots of technology. And
it's Mario.
A lot of opportunity for those experiences. Today, we're announcing some exciting products as part of our vision for the home, including connectivity, entertainment, and the Google Assistant.
So Chromecast, a great online experience, and the router. Yep.
Again, the mesh routers.
With great connectivity. Unfortunately, traditional routers weren't designed for the way we use Wi-Fi in the home today. We're streaming,
Amen.
Gaming, video chatting, sure. and more, all throughout the house. Last year, we introduced the OnHub router with TP-Link and ASUS as partners to make connectivity in the home a lot better. We're continuing to build on this technology for the benefit of the partner ecosystem, including ISPs. And we've integrated the latest advances into our own Wi-Fi product. Today, we're excited to announce Google Wi-Fi, designed to support the new ways we use Wi-Fi. First, it's an expandable system to give you much better coverage. Unlike
another
a single
pressure.
Central router.
I was about to say this white thing. So Google mesh is good for a lot of cases, but what we want to pay attention to is if he's going to be how it handles modular, the hops, because so what happens right is every hop you take, you're going to lose some capacity.
And size. Yep. Simply add Wi-Fi points to expand coverage. We've also designed the hardware to be visually subtle and fit in anywhere in the home without compromising aesthetics.
I mean,
on top of great coverage, we've built a feature set.
I have lots of nondescript white boxes with glowing lights. That
do you prefer that, or do you prefer something that's a little more bold?
Behind the scenes,
sick of all these glowing lights in my closet, in my bedroom.
Right.
Keep your signal strong. Even as
sometimes
you
don't want a glowing light.
By intelligently
you just
want to
think that hides
to the best Wi-Fi point. And placing it on the right Wi-Fi channel to avoid congestion. For those times when you do want control of your Wi-Fi network, we make it easy through a companion app. So at my house, for example, it's sometimes difficult to get my teenage daughters to pause YouTube or Netflix on their computers and come to the dinner table. Well, Google Wi-Fi lets you manage the Wi-Fi access of your kids.
You can shut it down.
If dinner's on the table, you don't have to shut down the router. Just go to the app and simply press pause on their devices for some quality family time.
On devices.
Yeah,
Google Wi-Fi
you should do
is
that
going to be available in November.
I love being able to manage everything in the app, but shutting them down should be a verbal command.
Google Wi-Fi is going to retail for
that's it. Kill the connection. Okay, Google, kill the connection.
Hey, Google. Take out my kids.
So single pack, $129. Three pack, $300.
So an Eero right now is $499. The Lumas are about $499. Those are the two competing mesh networks. I want to say the Orbeez from Netgear. Let's see how much those are.
we have some exciting news around Chromecast.
So single last 129, year, three-pack, $299.
Two new Chromecast products.
$399 is for an Orbi. Chromecast and Chromecast is it a three-pack?
So. The feedback was very, very positive. Overall watch time has increased 160%.
That's for two. Last year.
Yeah.
So that's We've a now good, sold a good price more than 30 million that Chromecast devices. And we're continuing to innovate on Chromecast to deliver the best streaming experience. So today, we're introducing Chromecast Ultra, our most premium TV streaming device to date. Chromecast Ultra brings everything you already love about Chromecast, plus even crisper picture and better performance. You will now be able to cast your favorite content in up to 4K Ultra HD resolution with HDR and Dolby Vision support. You can get the highest contrast ratio and deepest colors from your favorite TV shows on Netflix.
Super TV support.
Mine happens to be Narcos.
Keeping the Chromecast name.
Popular titles on Vudu.
Yeah, you're right.
And YouTube's extensive catalog of 4K videos. And we're
Do
happy
Wi-Fi
to announce
have a
that
name?
Google Play Movies will be rolling
it was
out
Google Wi-Fi.
4K content in November.
Talk about simple.
So Google Play Movies and TV 4K coming in November, so that's good.
Look really, really fantastic.
I was wondering on that one, actually.
We've also significantly improved performance and reliability. Chromecast Ultra is 1.8 times faster to load content and includes major Wi-Fi improvements to support streams from full HD to Ultra HD without a hitch. Plus, Chromecast Ultra comes with an Ethernet port. It's integrated into the power adapter, so it's simple to connect.
Awesome.
Just like Chromecast, Chromecast Ultra comes in a small, compact size, so it conveniently hides behind the TV. No extra cable, boxes, or clutter. And of course, Chromecast Ultra includes all of the great content already available on Chromecast. Just cast your favorite entertainment from your phone, tablet, or laptop. Chromecast Ultra is going to be available in November for $69. It showcases the next generation streaming technology.
It's getting pricey now.
Yeah. It is.
And that brings us to Google Home.
Dun, dun, dun.
At Google I.O., we gave a preview of where we plan on taking Google Home in the next few years. Today, we're going to share with you the details of the product. As we heard from Sundar, the Google Assistant works across many facets of your life, including at home. Our homes are special and different from other environments. It's where we spend time with family and friends. It's where we get a lot of stuff done. And it's where we relax and unwind. Many times, you can't or don't want to reach for your phone. You might be cooking, doing homework with the kids, or simply sitting with friends at the dinner table. So we've designed a product that works in a hands-free way and makes the assistant available whenever you need it, simply by asking with your voice. Google Home lets you enjoy music, get answers from Google, manage everyday tasks, and control devices around your home.
Oh, I love this already.
So here's Google Home.
Okay. It's
Our
the
design
same thing
was
as everything else except for
by
Google.
Consumer products that
I know.
Found in homes, like wine glasses and candles. We went with a white top and a clean diagonal face for a neutral look that blends
candles.
In. The top
it's
surface
for women.
Has
That's
LEDs
what this code
that provide
for.
Visual feedback right. when Google Home recognizes OK Google, so you know when it's listening. In those rare moments when voice won't do, the top surface is also a capacitive touch panel. You can simply use your finger to pause the music, adjust the volume, or trigger the Google Assistant.
That reminds me of the Nexus Q.
Google Home was designed
bit.
With a microphone system for accurate far-field voice recognition. We've simulated hundreds of thousands of noisy environments and applied machine learning to recognize patterns that allow us to filter and separate speech from noise. This enables us to deliver best-in-class voice recognition and minimize error rates, even from across the room.
Which is important.
The mic mute button gives you total control, so the product is only listening for the hot word when you want it to be. The speaker in Google Home sets the standard for audio quality in this new category. It contains a forward-facing, high-excursion active driver with dual side-facing passive radiators. This design delivers a full range, natural-sounding experience with rich bass and clear
highs. I want to know who this works with. I do not care about any of this.
Finally, we made it really simple to swap bases to customize your Google Home to match the style of any room in your home. All of these features add up to a beautiful
It'll be crimson, and powerful a tweed promise. Color, and snow.
So now I'm going to invite Rishi Chandra on stage to show in more detail what Google Home can do.
That's nothing new from I.O. now, so...
Yeah, right. We've heard about all this. Yeah. By the way, pricing for the Pixels, the smaller ones, really $650 or $750, I'm sure based on different storage capacity, $770 and $870 for the XL, arriving on October 20th.
Okay.
And afterwards, you have a chance to experience it live upstairs in the demo stations. Okay, so let's get going. First,
let's do that.
Google Home helps you enjoy your music. When I get home, I love to kick back, relax, and to listen to some tunes. And voice is a really simple way to get started. Let me show you. Okay, Google, play Don't Let Me Down by the Chainsmokers.
Oh.
Don't Let Me Down by the Chainsmokers. Sure.
I was getting ready to sing along, but nope.
Her voice is higher pitched than Echo. But it's a woman. Why didn't they name it?
It's really simple. And you're going to love the sound quality in your own home. And it's just as easy to control the music with your voice. Okay, Google, turn it down. And the great thing is I never had to pull out a phone or deal with a clunky remote control.
Now the question is,
just
which room do I put this
song, in? Just ask
for your
favorite song, album, and artist, and we'll play it. Now, in this case, we're using YouTube Music, which has a huge content catalog. So you can play popular tracks, live concerts, cover songs, and more.
Which you get access to if you already have Play Music subscription.
Including Google Play Music,
okay.
Spotify. Yep. Pandora,
there you go.
TuneIn, okay. And soon iHeartRadio.
There's what we need.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of different content options.
Excellent. I mean, anything major
example,
missing from there
in the
other than
for
title?
A retro workout music. Well, with Google Play Music, you can access their
You know, if you're on
playlist,
iTunes or if you moved all your stuff to Amazon, you're
right.
Going to be sad.
Yeah. Amazon, okay, iTunes, title.
Play 80s
workout.
That's the choices you make as a consumer.
For sure.
If I was on Amazon, I'd get
Netflix. There's a Google Play Music station called Headbands.
But I use, well, 80s workout.
This song might bring a lot of memories for many of you. Now, it's really easy to set a default music service as well. So if your favorite music service is Spotify, you don't have to keep saying on Spotify over and
okay,
over.
Okay, the Echo does this
We want
too.
Google Home to match your preferences. And what's really unique about Google Home is that our music search is powered by Google. So if you don't remember the exact name of that song, well, we can still help you out. So check this out. Okay, Google, play that Shakira song from Zootopia.
Try everything by Shakira. Sure. Playing on YouTube.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
That's very is cool. Awesome.
Yeah. That's
that
good integration.
Way better.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. But even though I didn't remember the name of the Shakira song,
wonder if
Google
it
was able
could
to
stick Shazam in
the
there.
Context of the movie Zootopia.
And then I could sing a song that I wanted to hear.
That would be nice. Although Google has its own version of Shazam, so maybe it is already in there. And in fact, maybe. I think you can do that with Google Now right now. You can do music
news,
recognition. So I bet you it's integrated into Assistant.
So if you want to listen to your favorite sports podcasts, like Pardon the Interruption, or news from NPR, all you need to do is ask for it. And of course, we also support the ability to cast audio to Google Home from your favorite Android and iOS devices. So your options to listen to music and more information is unlimited on this speaker. Add it all up, and we think you're going to love the combination of a great-sounding Wi-Fi speaker with voice control from the Google Assistant.
Is it doing
okay,
the
so
stuff from our home from Bluetooth or our
Google
other devices?
Home helps you get answers.
Our existing music collection.
Now, our mission has always been to organize.
You mean on-device music?
And over the past 2 years,
yeah, I would say
you
just said something about that.
You can cast from a device.
You can cast, so it would have to be reside in the cloud somewhere. I don't think you could cast directly from your device to it. Maybe you can. I missed that.
Now, with Google Home, we give you an easy way to access the knowledge of Google in a hands-free way.
I want this
for example,
so badly.
Let's stay with the music theme for a second. Okay, Google, what is Adele's real name?
Adele's full name is Adele Lori Blue Adkins.
Okay, Google, how many Grammys has she won?
According to Wikipedia, with a total of 20 awards and 53 nominations from the Grammy Awards for her music, she is the most nominated woman in Grammy history.
That's a lot of Grammys. Now, you may have noticed that last answer didn't come from Google, but instead came from Wikipedia. Our knowledge graph can cover a lot of information, but it can't cover everything. So fortunately, we launched a feature several years ago called Featured Snippets. If we can't find a direct answer, we try to find the website that has the best answer to your question. And we give you a short quote from it So you can
I've
decide
seen that many
whether
times.
More,
that's come in really handy, actually.
Yeah. It does.
It allows
nice
you to find answers to a much
searches.
Wider range of questions. For example, let's say I want to confirm before the kids spoil the dog with some treats. Okay, Google, can dogs eat chocolate?
No. According to Hill's Pet Nutrition, humans easily metabolize theobromine, but dogs process it much more slowly, allowing it to build up to toxic
it's
levels
a terrible
in their
answer.
System.
So that sounds like a no. Or let's say
you
I accidentally spilled some wine.
Theobromine's in chocolate.
Okay, right. Google, how do you get wine stains out of a rug?
According to Patch, mix 1/4 teaspoon of liquid dishwashing detergent with 4 cups of lukewarm water and pour a small amount of the solution on the stained carpet. Work the solution into the stain by using a gentle blotting motion. Then use water and a clean cloth to blot the spill, and it should remove the rest of the stain.
Repeat We're all that, thorough. Google.
This is where voice does not work.
This is really, really
it's hard. I mean, it would be hard to parse that if you had your hands full. You know what I mean? Like, you always need to see it to know step by step exactly
better,
what you needed
Google
to do there.
Home
but
automatically gets
nice to hear it, I suppose, to get started.
Now, the great thing is we can also bring Google's understanding of local and traffic information so you can more easily plan your day and schedule. So let's say I'm planning a backpacking trip to Costa Rica, and I need to get some camping gear. Well, I can ask Google Home for some help. Okay, Google, what are some nearby camping stores?
I found a few places within 8.6 miles.
So I can do this on the Echo.
The first one is the North Face on Post Street in San Francisco. The second one is Marmot on Post Street in San Francisco. The third one is REI on Brannan Street in San Francisco.
Okay, let's say I'm going to go check out REI. Okay, Google, how's the traffic looking to REI?
On your way to REI, there's the
this
usual
nice.
Traffic. You might want to take the route via 10th Street since it's slightly faster. It is 21 minutes by car.
Okay, seems like a little
Yeah, Rep Danugi, I think
Google,
the same thing. The voice does not
there?
Sound as clear as they've
REI
been getting it on the phones. I'm very surprised
minutes.
That it's not the most up-to-date voice
This is all built
voice
on
algorithm.
Years of investment in Google Maps. And over
sounds
time,
very
I would love,
to,
I would love
for
it to have a command
right
that says send to phone right there, like for the directions.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Cool. Google can teach me the most important thing as I prepare for my trip to Costa Rica.
Where you need that.
Oh, that
okay,
would be,
Google.
That would be killer.
How do I say I would like a beer, please, in Spanish?
Me gustaría una cerveza, por favor.
Oh, quiero un cerveza.
I think I'll be using that a lot. I'm not sure I can say it the same way. The Google Assistant
that's actually
there
nice.
To help you when you need
the
it.
The Amazon Echo sends
finally,
you to their
the
card
Google,
in the app when you ask it for Spanish because my daughter tries to help with her homework. And it's like, now to the app.
Home is where we love to relax.
So Google speaking other languages is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now we want Google Home to be able to help you stay on top of your busy schedule. So we designed a feature called My Day that, with your permission, summarizes important topics and activities for you in a really simple way. It's a great thing to try with the morning coffee. Let me show you. Okay, Google, good morning.
Good morning, Rishi. It is 7:32 a.m. The weather in San Francisco currently
that voice sounds different. Why are these voices changing?
Because it's a demo. This is a produced demo. The device isn't there. I think these are just recorded things that he's doing call and response with.
But why would they not do all of the entire demo in the same robotic voice? They're very different. Like it's I don't know. I suppose I noticed that. I don't know if anybody else really zeroes in on that, but it bothers me.
If the president can get a daily briefing, why shouldn't you? And now you can plan your day without skipping a beat. Google Home also excels at assisting you with common tasks in the home. So, for example, when you're planning a dinner, you can easily add things to the shopping list, get nutrition information on ingredients, and set up multiple timers to manage your cooking times, all with your voice. Okay, Google, can you add kids' vitamins to my shopping list?
Okay, I've added kids' vitamins to your shopping list.
And now, when I'm at the grocery store, I can just pick up my Pixel and quickly access the shopping list.
Pixel pre-order
okay, Google,
is live on the Play Store.
Show me my shopping list.
On the Google Store.
Oh, now go. This is nice. Look, that's almost
it's
like...
It's one assistant across your devices. Now, of course, helping with everyday tasks...
So that was what you were talking about, right? Like,
it was kind of like send a screen, but it just said, show me my shopping list.
For example...
So I wonder if you could pick up your Pixel and say, show me those directions to REI.
Yeah.
Okay, Google.
That'd be nice.
Flip a coin.
Okay. It's Dale's.
Now, we want to go beyond only what Google can do and also allow you to use your voice to interact with your favorite apps and services. And we'll have more to share about how Google will let partners integrate with the Google Assistant a little later today. Okay, so fourth.
Partners.
Google Home helps you control devices at home. As homes get more connected, we think voice is going to become a standardized way in which you can interact with your home devices. It's just really easy. So for those with smart home devices, we've partnered with Nest, SmartThings, Philips Hue, and Ift to voice enable your lights, switches, and thermostats.
I would like to
see individual devices, rooms, or your entire house. And we'll be constantly adding more partners over time. And we want to make sure we support
as many smart home devices
as possible.
Yeah, right.
Fortunately, yeah. If you're one of the 30 million people who've purchased a Chromecast or Chromecast Audio, you can now use Google Home to voice control your TVs and speakers. It's awesome.
Ooh.
So let me show it to you. Okay, Google, play Katy Perry's latest music video on my TV.
All right, rise from YouTube, playing on Chromecast.
Not this song, no, go away.
But that's great, showing, yeah. Saying where to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't just survive. Oh, you will.
Yeah, the control of the devices is great. Being able to say, play that on this, you know.
They want to keep going.
It's the future.
It can completely change how you watch television. When you know what you want to watch, just ask for it. And this is truly hands-free voice control. There's no remote, no voice button that you have to go press, no phones needed.
Can you do that with Amazon Echo and the Fire TV Stick?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I don't know because I don't have the Echo.
And you can also use your voice control playback.
Anthony, our technical director, shakes his head no and says you cannot.
Okay, thank you, Anthony.
And if you need to, you can still pick up your Android or iOS device and continue to control it.
If you have the Fire TV Stick with voice control on the remote, you have to hold a button down.
Your devices using Google Cast.
And I think it just said if you have an iOS device, you can YouTube do something with it.
It's a lot of fun. Okay, Google, watch videos of John Oliver on my TV.
Sure, playing John Oliver from YouTube on Chromecast.
Jesus.
Hello there, I am John Oliver, host of that show you've heard some things about but haven't gotten around to watching yet. You think it's called Last Night This Week, or maybe Yesterday Right Now.
By the way, I'm trying to pre-order the blue, the limited edition Really Blue. It only comes in 32 gig. It does not come in the 128, as far as I can tell.
Does it come in the smaller size?
Voice casting. It does come in the smaller size. Yep, it comes in the smaller size.
Voice casting via Google Home. So you'll soon be able to
say, you're locked at 32 gigs of storage.
Watch Stranger Things on my
TV. That's okay. I live in the cloud.
Okay, Stranger Things. Playing from Netflix on Chromecast.
It's really, really easy. It's never been easier to binge watch your favorite Netflix shows. But why stop at just music and video? We're also working with Google Photos to make it easy to show your favorite photos on the TV. Okay, Google, show my photos from Sarah and AJ's wedding on my TV.
Show your photos from Sarah and AJ's wedding on your Chromecast.
Just works. Hands-free voice control, combined with Google Photos' awesome image search capabilities, means you can literally throw any photo on the TV in a really easy way. Okay, Google, show my photos of dancing on my TV.
Show your photos of dancing on your Chromecast.
Oh, see, this is where you're getting with the AI does everything.
Follow a dance class. It's really easy. We think you're going to love using this. We also support voice casting to your speakers. So if you already have a high-end audio system, just plug in a $35 Chromecast audio, and Google Home will be able to voice control your speaker system.
Without any wires
or cables. And all these features will also work with any Google Cast-enabled TV, like Android TVs, or Google Cast-enabled speakers from our OEM partners. So your options will only expand over time. Now, once you see how easy it is to use Google Home, we think you're going to want to put one in every room in your house. So we made sure to design Google Home so that they can work better together. For example, we have enabled multi-room audio support across Google Home devices. This allows you to play a group or create a group and play the same song across the devices at the exact same time. So now you can fill your entire house with great, amazing audio. You can even add a Chromecast audio or cast speakers to the group. We also need to be a little smarter about how we respond if you have multiple Google Homes in your house. You don't want all the speakers or all the devices responding to you at the exact same time. So we designed the Google Assistant to be context aware. Only the device that hears you best will respond. It'll even respond intelligently across your Android devices and your Google Home devices. So now you don't have to worry about it. Just ask your question, and the right device will respond.
Nice.
Oh, look at this, you guys.
Of Google Home.
The Google Home is going to be $129, which is $50 less than the Echo. Right in. Nice.
Yep.
And as
it's a good price.
Gets continuously better, so does Google Home. So now let's talk pricing and availability.
Here we go.
Google Home is going to be available for $129. And to make sure you have a chance to experience Google Home at its full potential, we'll be offering a free 6-month trial of YouTube Red.
Why not?
To get access to YouTube Music, Google Play Music, and ads-free YouTube.
Smart.
A Google Home will be available for pre-order starting today in the U.S. from Google Store, Best Buy, Walmart, and Target. It'll be shipping and available in retail stores on November 4th.
I mean, as far as I know, a free subscription to YouTube Red is also a free subscription to Play Music, the expanded service, right?
My delivery on mine is November 8th through 10th.
Mango, marine, and violet.
For what? For what?
Metal bases
for the
carbon,
the Google Home.
Snow,
just ordered one.
Oh, okay.
We can't wait to try them out.
Setting
next up is Scott Huffman, who's going to talk to you about how partners can integrate with a Google Assistant. But before that, I want to debut our new Google Home spot. Enjoy.
They're really pushing the spots.
All right, so Stacey, you've known a little bit about Google Home coming into this, and you are absolutely the IoT expert on the panel today. What do you? I mean, does this differentiate itself enough for your use case in your home? What do you think?
Well, we didn't hear about apps, right? We didn't hear a lot about other partners. So, like, my home right now is set up on Wink as opposed to SmartThings. So that's not exciting. One of the easiest things to do, though, to get started in the smart home is voice plus lights, and it's also a really great use case that people love. So having Philips Hue is great. Having the ability to cast, like, you know, I've got 6 Sonoses around my house, so buying 6 Chromecast audios just to have this work with them, I'm kind of like, oh, is that worth it?
Right.
Kind of. Or I could wait till next year for Amazon. So as it stands today, I'm buying one because I'm a huge nerd. I don't know if I would buy one.
I'm Scott Huffman, and I lead engineering for the Google Assistant. Today you've heard how the Google Assistant lets you have a conversation.
I guess it'll remain to be seen whether
it helps you get things
whether
done
the purchase actually improves your scenario at home.
Always been about helping. And I've got 5 weeks to wait.
People come to Google many times a day when they need assistance. From checking the weather to researching medical information, people come to Google for help with every imaginable task. So really, the Google Assistant is a continuation of the company's focus on helping users. It's what we've always been about, and it's what people everywhere know us for. But to do this really well, the Assistant needs to work with many partners across many kinds of devices and contexts. Going back to Google's earliest days, we've always worked hard to create healthy, open platforms. Search, of course, is the first example. Building on top of the web, search helps users find great content, and it helps publishers find their audience. We've also built vibrant platforms in the ad space, in maps, for Android and Play, YouTube, and many other areas. These open platforms are useful for people everywhere, and they provide a lot of value for partners. The Google Assistant will be our next thriving open ecosystem. Of course, many of Google's existing partners will automatically be able to engage people through the Assistant. Right out of the gate, the Assistant will be able to find information about local businesses, surface great content from YouTube creators, and recommend web content from publishers. It can even offer help in the form of snippets from trusted websites with clear attribution and deep links into the apps I have on my phone, like you saw in Brian's demo of the Google Assistant on Pixel. So think about that for a moment. On day one, the Google Assistant can bring users together with partners that can help them. But in many cases, I'm not just looking for information. I know what I want to get done, and I just want my assistant to do it for me. Today, I want to give you a sneak peek at the open developer platform that will let anyone build for the Google Assistant. We're planning to launch this in early December.
Oh, wow.
Actions on Google will let many kinds of partners complete tasks for users through the Google Assistant. There'll be two kinds of actions, direct actions, and conversation actions. Sometimes a person's request is so straightforward that the assistant can just trigger the right partner action instantly. We call these direct actions, and you saw some of these with Google Home earlier. Direct actions are great for things like home automation, media requests, and communications. When I say turn on the living room lights, the Philips Hue or SmartThings lights should just come right on. When I say play my dinner party playlist on Spotify, music should fill the room.
Direct actions. Any developer can plug into the assistant with this thing.
Right. It's basically like a bot.
Yeah. Some things that I want to do take a little
bit of
discussion.
Actionable actions in the real world.
Take some back and forth. Conversation actions will be for these kinds of tasks.
Okay, yes.
When I say I need an Uber, my assistant will be able to bring Uber right into the conversation. Then Uber can say, where would you like to go? And I can respond with my destination.
Uber might ask, would you like an Uber X again?
And maybe I'll say, well, this time we need an Uber XL. Once the ride's confirmed,
sounds like anything that uses assistant.
She'll arrive in 3 minutes in a black.
See, so this unified vision is really cool. It just sucks that they're going to X out like Amazon and all these other people. I understand why, but
it's free market, right?
It is.
That's the competitive edge.
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying that as a consumer, I'm like, dang it.
Yeah, it would be nice, right, as a consumer to have this all work together.
And novice developers
consumer loses.
Have already built conversational interactions.
Well, I mean, there's nothing to tell you that Amazon can't develop, you know, simple shopping actions for Google Home. If they're smart, they would. But if they want their product to be the only place you can do that, then that's their competitive advantage.
Which they do.
I'm just thinking about, like, right now, I can't get, like, the show I'm watching right now is only on Amazon Prime, right? So I'm not going to be able to tell my Chromecast to bring up this on Amazon Prime.
Right, which is frustrating, but that's Amazon's choice not to make Amazon Prime available on Android. I mean, that's, you know, it's not, I don't think it's necessarily Google saying we don't want Amazon. It's Amazon saying we don't want Google. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's true. I'm not, I'm just mad that they can't get
right, agreed.
It's frustrating. Work with many developers, publishers, and businesses that have helped us refine actions on Google. So the partners shown behind me across areas like home automation, music and entertainment, news, transportation, and many other categories are building things for the Google Assistant. I'm really excited to share more about actions on Google in December, but in the meantime, you can visit developers.google.com/actions to learn more or to sign up for news and updates. Now, as we've been developing the Google Assistant, we've been asked by many device makers if they can incorporate the Google Assistant into their products. We imagine a future where the assistant will be ready to help in any context from any kind of device.
So this is like third-party Google Homes,
essentially, is what he's talking
about.
We're developing the embedded Google Assistant SDK. So whether you're tinkering with a Raspberry Pi in your basement or you're building a mass-market consumer device, you'll be able to integrate the Google Assistant right into what you make.
So
this SDK
Amazon
will launch
does
next
the
year,
Alexa
but we're already
SDK.
Working to put the foundations in place.
Is the assistant going to have the speech recognition that the Alexa SDK has, do we know? Or is it just
today
the back end for the assistant?
For Google. It's an inflection.
Yeah, I don't know if I know the answer to that question.
Come on, Jason. Aren't we watching this together?
We are. I mean, I would imagine it would software. Need that. Otherwise, how could Google parse anything to be useful with assistant, you know, in the way that they would hope for? I would hope that Google would provide that.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah.
As you just heard,
been great about it in the past. That's why
it's getting better over time. And as you saw today, the phone and Google Home are the first two devices that showcase the Google Assistant. We're deeply committed to building hardware that brings this vision to life. This is only the beginning. We can't wait to hear what you have to say about our newest devices. And if you want to know more, you can check it out at our website here. With that, I'd like to say thank you and goodbye to everyone joining us on the live stream.
And that was that. Thanks, Rick.
Did that just happen?
Yeah, that just happened.
Way to shut the door. My Lord.
There was somebody with an itchy trigger finger like, oh, it says here, as soon as he says that, turn it off, click.
He didn't sound really excited either. He was just like, that was great. Let's shut it down.
All right. Okay. So we heard, let's see here. We can do kind of a quick recap here. Rick Osterloh showed off, first of all, the Pixel phones, the two phones, 5-inch, 5.5-inch, pretty great specs underneath, including a Snapdragon 821,
Again, I don't know if it's the first device to have the 821, but I don't think I've heard of any other devices having it yet. So it very well could be. First phone with Google Assistant built in. So that's in place of Google Now, like we're used to at this point. Pixel launcher. So it kind of has a different look and feel with the Pixel launcher. New app drawer or app draw for Ron. you touch and hold the home button or a hot word of OK Google, and that's going to kind of launch you into Assistant and all that contextual stuff and everything.
And it's got a headphone jack.
It has. Is this confirmed? Do we have confirmation on headphone jack?
It said 3.5 millimeter headphone jack on the thing.
which isn't really new.
But you should put it on there for now because there could be questions. What was I going to ask? Oh, I can't remember. It'll come up again.
Did they just start up the video again, Anthony?
That's me.
Oh, that's you. Okay. Because then that would be admission of, oh, dang it, we did it too soon. One thing they talked up very highly on these phones is the photography experience. They say the camera achieved the highest rating of the DxOMark mobile rating, bested the iPhone 7 in camera hardware by 3 points at 89. Although some in chat were saying, yeah, it's not the best rating scale. When it comes to that, doesn't necessarily always equate to an excellent camera, but there you go. F2.0. Which I would have loved 1.8 for better low light images, but f2.0 aperture is what we got. And smart burst photo mode, HDR plus stabilization that they showed off that looked really impressive. I'm very curious to see the real world on that, the real world experience. But yeah, photos are pretty darn important, right?
And the free stuff, the free access.
Oh, that's
storage.
Right. That's right. Yep.
That's unlimited. That's notable.
Free unlimited notable. Storage at full resolution. Google normally gives you, I think, 100, or I can't remember exactly how much, it's a limited number of storage, amount of storage for full resolution images. If you buy one of these, apparently you're going to get that full resolution unlimited. So that's nice.
Well, wait, there were like three asterisks after that.
Okay.
So we want to scroll down and see what that's about?
I'm curious to know. Yeah, was it there on the page that Anthony
on
was showing?
On the page you were scrolling through or Anthony was showing?
Let's see here. Says three asterisks. You're right. Three. Jeez. Say goodbye to those storage is full notifications and then three asterisks. That might just mean at the very bottom there's a three. And what does it say? Unlimited backups for photos and videos taken with your Pixel requires Google account. Data rates may apply. Okay.
So end date there. All right.
No end date. Yeah. I'm like, those are good. But, whenever you see those, you're like, oh, got to check the fine print.
Yeah, especially if there are asterisks.
So what's interesting is that those are photos and videos taken with your Pixel. So if at some point down the road you move off of the Pixel, then it's no longer unlimited.
I don't know. How are they tracking that? Is it just that they're tracking it by device by your account?
They could.
Yeah.
I mean, and if they are tracking it by device, then all my Pixel photos live there forever, no matter what.
Right.
Even if I switch, I have no idea. I'm sure people will test this.
Google will certainly hope that you leave your photos there forever and ever. That's for sure.
The better to mine your data.
Exactly.
Yeah, feed the beast. Feed the beast.
And to provide contextual information that makes your life even better. That's what they would say. Let's see here. First phone with Google Duo pre-installed. Oh, okay. But I guess that's kind of like Google saying, hey, here's our, to make and kind of comparison. Here's our FaceTime.
That begs a good question because it's Duo pre-installed. No mention of Allo being pre-installed.
Right.
And with Verizon as a carrier partner, are we going to get Verizon stuff pre-installed as well or not?
I'm guessing.
I'm going to go check that out because the reason I'm a Nexus person is because I hated all the Verizon crapware. And
me too.
Even a pretty blue that matches my hair is not going to be enough to get me to go back to that.
I mean, when you get an iPhone on a major carrier, do you get pre-installed software with that or is it just straight from Apple? Do either of you know that?
No.
You don't get it. Again, Anthony stands up and says, no, you don't. So Apple's
why is Anthony behind the scenes?
he's switching the video that makes it look good. But yes, every once in a while, he's right in my field of view, and he knew the answer to that one. So then Apple is able to negotiate a couple of things with carriers. They're able to negotiate no bloatware, you know, software pre-installed that's a requirement of the carrier, let's say. And they're also able to negotiate straight updates from Apple itself, not linking through the carrier. I wonder if Google has made any sort of similar agreements here for their own phone. We would hope so, but we don't know the answer to that yet. And I'm worried about the answer to that, because I think that's kind of the deal you make with the devil when you're talking about Android phones on carriers. That's what we're used to seeing. That ends up being a big deal in the long run. But I guess it brings the price down. But in this case, maybe not that much, because these are expensive phones. They also showed off made for VR, Daydream View, the VR headset made of, or at least lined with cloth.
What's interesting about that, which I don't recall them mentioning in the presentation, but if you pre-order a Pixel phone, they're going to give you the Daydream View VR headset free.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Scroll up. Yeah, if you scroll up from there, it says
pre-order you Pixel.
Enjoy it on us.
There you go. What do you know? Nice. Free if pre-ordering a Pixel. Well, excellent. I guess I'll be getting one of those because I pre-ordered.
Yeah.
So, okay.
What color?
That's a good question. Crimson. I guess I have to, yeah. It's
crimson
I don't,
all the way.
I don't think you go with gray when you've got other color options. Or maybe you do.
I don't know. I think you definitely don't go with that light color. Can you imagine all the dirt from your face getting stuck? Yeah. So disgusting.
I'd like to go with sweatpants gray if you've got it in stock. If not,
Heather,
I'll go with crimson.
Heather gray, yeah.
I kind of like the first initial one. The dark gray looks good.
The dark gray, yep. Hey, you've got options for the
I'll give them credit on the design of that. If you wanted to differentiate yourself from the Gear VR from Samsung,
sure.
Honestly, this is the way to do it. Make it look different when it's strapped to your face. And mm-hmm. this looks a lot more comfortable than the white plastic of Samsung, even though Samsung's new Gear VR is redesigned and streamlined. But this looks, you know, it looks soft, which I think is something that we take for granted with these kind of devices.
Oh, I was going to say they should have stuck a Bluetooth trigger or Bluetooth chip inside the remote and then had its software identify with your phone so you could always find your remote using your phone.
Oh.
That would have been like a nice thing that showed they loved their users.
That would be a nice bonus. That's a really great point.
That said, the lo-fi solution of having the remote go into where the phone goes makes sense because when you think about the action, you're going to open it up, you're going to take your phone out, you put the remote back in, close it, and when you go to put the phone back in, you open it, the remote's there waiting. That's actually pretty smart. So
I like that a lot.
I do too, but I have a child who's going to be like, done.
And walk out of the room and never tell you a single thing until it's too late. They say low latency, accurate head tracking, obviously comfort. It fits over glasses. I wonder if they've got proper ventilation, because sometimes when you're doing VR, especially for extended periods with your phone on the other side of the goggles, it actually kind of heats up a little bit. And what that ends up doing is kind of fogging up the lens a little bit. So you have to like pull it out in order for that to go away. Some of the VR goggles are better at that than others, so I'm curious to know how that translates here.
That is like the most disgusting thing I can imagine. I have not spent that much time with VR stuff that got hot enough that my face started causing condensation.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's sealed around your eyes, and then you've got this heat source on the other side of your eye, so.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it's a reality of VR, I suppose. It is what it is. J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, allows you to be a wizard. The controller is your wand. That looked pretty cool. Yeah. I'll look forward to that. And a whole bunch of other kind of demos that they showed off. I guess they're saying 50 partners at launch by end of year. That, of course, $79 at launch, but you get it free if you pre-order one of the Pixel devices and you want to do that. Speaking of the Pixel phones, 7 hours of power with 15 minutes of charging. It's confirmed. It does have Nougat 7.1 or Nougat 7.1. So it's the next version of Android, and that's probably because things like Assistant are built in as opposed to Google Now and a whole bunch of other specific features to this. Automatic updates, similar to Chrome OS, updates download and install in the background. I think that's a pretty killer feature, to be honest, based on my experience with Chrome OS. 24/7 customer care support built into the phone for users. Let's see here. What else? Exclusive with Verizon. Exclusivity. That kind of bums me out a little bit. I was kind of hoping if Google's really going for the let's really make a big impact and show everybody what our prowess is on making our own phones similar to, you know, companies like Apple and Samsung. Here it is, except it's only exclusive to this one carrier. I don't know. That bums me out. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I said previously that if they wanted this to really get to the masses, they needed to work with the carriers. So I guess this is a step in the right direction. It's a bummer to see that it's only Verizon, but at least it's available unlocked in the Google Store as well. But, you know, it would have been nice to see, you know, this is available at all the carriers, same price, same phone, go at it. But, you know, right. I guess that takes a lot of work to get those deals in place.
Right. Well, Jeff Jarvis makes a good point. So you've got Project Fi if you buy it through Google's
yes.
site itself. Yeah. So in that case, it's not exclusive to Verizon. I guess what I'm thinking, that where I'm coming from, is walking into any carrier store, no matter what carrier you are a member of or you're a subscriber of, and finding the Pixel phone on the shelf. You're only going to get that if you go into the Verizon store. If you go into T-Mobile, Sprint, or AT&T, you're not going to see it on the shelf. Right. That's a bummer. That's a bummer if your goal is to make this wide-ranging, wide-reaching consumer product in this day and age anyways. Pre-orders today. The smaller Pixel, which is the 5-inch Pixel, is 650 or 750. That's 32 gigs of storage on the low end, 128 gigs of storage on the high end. So on both devices. So 650 or 750 for the smaller one. The 5.5-inch device, the XL, is $770 or $870. And like I noticed when I was doing the pre-order, I got the 5.5 in the really blue, and you can only get 32 gig storage option on that. It blanks out the 128, which is definitely a bummer. I don't know why you do that, but I guess it's limited edition. So you're just happy it's flashy in that regard. Let's see. What else do we got?
Routers.
What's that? Yeah, the routers. Yeah. That's right.
Are we moving on from the phones to the other stuff? Or
let's
not?
Let's do it. Google Wi-Fi.
Okay.
This is the expandable system, mesh networking, all that kind of stuff.
So people were asking, it's dual band, so 2.4 and 5 gigahertz. It's
okay.
.11ac. It's 2x2 antenna structure, so 2x2 MIMO, which I feel like I've been seeing a lot of 4x4, and that helps with like beamforming technologies, which is people are excited about. I'm kind of like, So that's not as up as other kind of routers out there.
Okay.
It has 2 gigabit Ethernet ports, which is nice. I'm always running on. I've got so many hubs hanging off my router that I've got to switch anyway. But right. You know, you got one extra. Let's see. What else do we want to know? It says it has a quad-core processor and 512 megabytes of RAM and 4 gigabytes of flash. So that's actually a bunch of brain power there. So maybe this is going to be part of the smart home effort too.
Yeah. What do you do with all that storage in a Wi-Fi router? I mean, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's a good question.
4 gigs of storage,
you could run apps from your router. I mean, if you think about distributed computing and you want to put more power there, you could like run your Google Home automations or something there.
Huh. Okay. Integrations, I don't know, things like if this and that sort of stuff, like running directly off
probably
of the device?
Not if this and that, but like if they decided to create like HomeKit, for example, has the scene setting aspects in Home.
Okay.
So if you were going to have, if Google launches an app for controlling the smart home, for example, mm-hmm. they could host all of the, or some of the instructions there. So if you're offline, you know,
right.
at least things are still happening in the network in your house.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. You've got a companion app here that allows you to control your network, manage Wi-Fi, let's say access for the kids.
Manage devices, turn the kids' tablet or phone off. Yeah.
Pause Wi-Fi.
That's a lot of power.
If I paused Wi-Fi in my house, though, Like, I'd have to pause it specifically for their device, because pausing all of Wi-Fi, I feel like my house might fall over.
Well, yeah, right? And maybe that's a consideration that they have here. If you're using these things for IoT, let's say, for connecting all the things in your house, you probably never want to take internet completely away from everything. I mean, that might be useful for, you know, keeping your kids from hopping on when you don't want them to, but that has a lot of side effects with everything else in your house. So maybe this is the result. You know, this is the answer to that.
Maybe.
Maybe. Sorry.
So final thing.
Yeah.
Looking at these routers, I don't see anything that makes me think they're going to be any better than what's on the market. They are cheaper. And even the software, like, I want to spend more time on the software, but a lot of other router companies have software that actually lets you control things at a really granular level, mm-hmm. Not just shut your kids out. So I don't know. I'm kind of like, on this. Mm-hmm.
I think what you see is Google kind of asserting themselves from a branding standpoint, even with the product name being Google Wi-Fi. So now when people, you know, we see that the Google Home is going to be in Best Buy and Target and Walmart. It's safe. I would guess that this Wi-Fi will at least be in Best Buy, maybe in those other spots. So when people need to buy a router, they're going to say, oh, Google Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Google,
right?
Yeah.
That's the one I should get. Yeah.
And they did say that he kind of threw this off the cuff, but he said something about working with ISPs. So it may be that smaller ISPs or bigger ones start shipping Google routers, because they do need some sort of high quality routing solution.
Right. Some sort of option. Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely curious what the long term plan is with it. But I mean, again, it's just Google. This announcement shows a major effort into the home by Google, and the first entry point into the home is that pipe coming into the house. So if they can get it through these Wi-Fi routers, that gives them another data point, another advantage to help, you know, start the home automation, integrate with the Google Home, integrate with other devices. So it just makes sense in that way. And the pricing is right. I mean, I hate the router that comes with my cable modem. I'd rather use another router that I have more control over.
For sure. Yeah. Single $129, three pack $299. So that brings the cost down to around $100 per if you get a three pack.
Is this Bluetooth smart ready? Someone in the comments was saying it was.
I didn't see anything about Bluetooth. I haven't taken the time to dive into that. So it could be. I'm very curious to know.
Because if it's Bluetooth smart ready, then that means you could have it act as the hub for like your door locks and things like that, Bluetooth light switches and stuff, that because right now Bluetooth mesh isn't like all that in a piece of cake. But I don't see anything on that.
Google Wi-Fi, by the way, wait list to join if you want to get that. You cannot get it yet. You have to join the wait list. Let's see here. I'm diving in a little bit to see connectivity. Bluetooth smart ready. Yep.
Ta-da. Okay. So that's great.
It is in there. 2 gigabit Ethernet ports per point. Bluetooth smart ready is in there.
Cool.
And excellent stuff there. Where did my doc go? There we go. Okay, so get on the wait list for that. That's a wait list right now, unfortunately. I would love to order it. Chromecast Ultra is the premium TV streaming device. In this case, it's $69, where Chromecast is normally, I think it's like, what, $50? Or no, like $40 or something, super low cost.
It's like $30. Yeah. $35,
there
actually.
There we go. That's the price. That's right. This is more than double that. Right about double that. No. 4K. Math, hard for me. 4K Ultra HD. HDR support, Dolby Vision support. They say it's 1.8 times faster. Actually has an onboard Ethernet port, so you're not doing all of this by Wi-Fi when you're talking about that high bandwidth of 4K and everything. That's I don't know if it's essential, but it's probably a really good thing to have.
And, especially if you hardwire your TV, right?
Right.
Well, actually, yeah.
Yeah, the Ethernet port on that isn't something I've been praying for, because while I love Wi-Fi, but with video, you know, like I want the most amount of bandwidth coming through, and even though Wi-Fi has been improved, you still want that cable. So
yeah, you want that perfect kind of connectivity, or at least as good as you can get, because there's nothing worse than suddenly something happening and you can't watch your thing on your screen.
Yep. Nothing worse.
Oh, nothing. There's nothing in this world that is worse than that. That is the absolute top of the list of worst things ever. Google Play Movies has 4K support coming in November. And of course, you know, this supports any 4K content that you find on YouTube and a whole lot more. So there you go. That's nice. That too, I believe, is waitlist. You cannot order this or pre-order this yet.
Oh, nuts. That was going to be my Christmas present for everybody.
I would be surprised if it doesn't come out by Christmas.
Hopefully.
It better. I don't think, if you're announcing a bunch of products now and you don't have them out by Christmas, shame on you. Be my, my opinion anyways.
In connected device world, that's not unusual.
I'm guessing that Chromecast Ultra will be out by then, but I guess we don't know. It's just waitlist right now. And then one thing that we were all looking forward to hearing more about, Google Home. We first heard about this at Google I/O. Now we've got a little bit more information. Of course, what can it do? It can control your music. It can give you answers. It can manage tasks. It can control your home devices. They say it has far-field voice recognition, machine learning to filter and separate speech from noise, and they've tested that and, you know, ran it through a lot of learning in order to get to that point. Best-in-class voice recognition. They say they've minimized the error rates in the process. There's a button to limit it from actually listening to voice commands, so you can kind of, mute yourself to it, I suppose. But I guess the Echo has that as well. The tops.
It didn't really address the thing that we've talked about, I know, Jason, previously, whereas when you have multiple people in your family, how does it handle identity recognition?
Yeah.
When I say, hey, Google, tell me about my day, is it going to give me my day or give my partner's day or merge them all in together? So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with it.
Yeah.
I bet it's tied to the account that you're on.
It's tied to the account.
That's my guess, because that's how Google handles everything.
But can you have multiple accounts? Can you say that there are two of us that live in this household? You know, because like, I know when we were on This Week in Google, we were talking, Jeff Jarvis was saying, he was like, oh, well, you just make an account for the house. But I don't want that. I want my account. I want my info. And I want to be able to differentiate that from my, you know, my partners. So,
So you can do that with multiple calendars. So you can grab your Google calendar using the Echo. And for a while, they didn't support two. But now I say, what's on Stacy's calendar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And well, I
that
think
would
that
helps. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if
Google's will it be gonna do that. Will it be able to pick up the fact that you're saying what's on my calendar and it knows that it's Stacy asking? That's the big question. That's where it needs to get to.
Yeah.
I'll tell you November 8th or 10th when I get mine.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. So if you look on the home website under features, there's a great little grid of all the different kind of tasks that you can do, whether it's entertainment or managing tasks. And it looks like the IFTT is going to be a big player in this, because like building recipes to say, you know, the examples they have for IFTT is, you know, get these kids off my lawn, turns on your automated sprinklers, you know, say I'm running late, send your wife an email that tell her that you're running late. But what I thought was really interesting is that they actually have listed Easter eggs as a functionality, where it says discover hidden surprises.
Oh, great. The hidden surprise that you really aren't going to wake up early this morning. We're going to allow you to sleep in.
I like that Easter eggs are a selling point now.
I'm going to look for, so I think for normal people, ooh, I didn't see the orange base. Now I'm sad. Okay. I think there's we're going to need a lot more. So Nest is great. I want to see Logitech Harmony. I want to see Wink. I want to see, let's see, the door locks, not so much, or a way to get those guys on. Because if this and that is fun, but that is a very nerdy way to interact with your stuff.
Super,
and
I mean, super nerdy.
I love IFT, but ugh. Yeah. So
I mean, like, I would love to see August locks on here, or, you know, other, you know, kind of smart products like that. So then the question is it those manufacturer's job to play with Google Home, or for Google Home to go to them and say, hey, get us on board? Where does that cross section meet? But I gotta imagine that if this sells in volume, then, you know, IoT manufacturers will scramble to get the support working off of it.
Sure. And I talked to Jason Johnson, who's the CEO of August Locks, last week when I was in San Francisco. And he and I was like, hey, are you gonna do Google Home? And he's like, you know, any voice activated platform, yes, we want to be a part of. The challenge for him, though, is how Google's going to open up the ecosystem. And I'm hopeful, because if he wasn't really up on that yet, then it probably means that Google just set up these few intro partners, and now we're going to have an opening of the ecosystem. Although if the SDK isn't available until next year, that's kind of worrisome. The Google Assistant, but that's a Google Assistant SDK. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
So much we don't know.
Yes. It's usually the case here, huh? And then we got to wait for another month to get it, at least as far as that's concerned. What else are we missing on this? I think we kind of got most of that. Voice control of TVs and speakers. Thanks to Chromecast. So if you already have your Chromecast, this kind of interconnects with those, interplays with those.
Someone's asking about Google Wi-Fi, and does each device need to be connected to the internet via Ethernet or just one? And that's actually a setup. The way the mesh network works, only one has to be connected via Ethernet. But if you do it the rest via Wi-Fi, you're going to lose some capacity on some of the hops. And that's okay if you've got a great connection. It's just something to be aware of.
Right. That's a good point. I know that I need more than one of these sorts of things in my house. At least my experience is that I will, but I don't know if I'm running Ethernet into every room that I would put one of these things in. I just have to deal with it and assume that the alternative was not very good connectivity anywhere other than the bottom floor. You know what I mean?
Running Ethernet isn't too hard. I mean, it does have to, you have to go through a wall, but if you have an attic, I feel like you could probably do it and it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
To hardwire. I mean, like, and I'm a jerk for saying this because we built a new house, so I have Ethernet in all my rooms, but it is worth it given how important broadband connectivity is.
Sure.
That's just my thought.
And how much we were relying on it these days. So, and then they spent a little bit of time kind of focusing on Assistant itself, actions on Google, things between, you know, the difference between direct actions, which are things like home automation, media requests, communications, turn on the living room lights, and then it would do that, versus conversational actions, which is kind of like what we're getting more and more used to around Assistant and things like Allo, where you kind of follow the thread, and allowing developers and, you know, third-party hardware manufacturers to tap into that with the Google Assistant SDK. So that would mean, you know, that somewhere down the line we could see third-party Google Home devices, that Google Home is just the start, and that other devices can kind of bake that in into their.
And when you're gone, hardware. They'll fight.
Yeah.
Your Amazon Echo and your Google Home devices. They'll jam each other's signals.
They'll get into a shouting war, a shouting match when you're not there.
Turn on Ecobee. Turn off Ecobee.
Turn off Alexa. Cool. And I think that's really about it. We heard nothing about Andromeda, which, you know, that it, leading up to announcements like this, like I feel like the major announcements that we did hear, we already really knew a lot based on the leaks. The leaks were pretty solid and everything. One of the things that we were hoping to hear about, but, you know, maybe in retrospect it makes sense that we didn't quite yet, is Andromeda, which would be the convergence of Android and Chrome OS. This rumor just keeps on persisting year after year.
I'm not surprised we didn't hear about it because that's super not a consumer topic.
Yeah, right.
And additionally, but I am surprised that we didn't see the rumored tablet.
Mm-hmm. Well, so if there's some sort of interplay between the tablet and the Andromeda effort, which is what some of the rumors were saying, you know, and mind you, the rumor did actually say that this Huawei tablet would hit by end of year. So it might not be the kind of thing that you get at a consumer focused announcement event like we had today. Right. That might be something a little bit later. You know, it's not necessarily, I'm guessing, you know, if the rumors are to be believed, it's not necessarily the kind of thing that you tout or promote for, you know, leading into the holiday season. Everybody should get this, you know, experimental developer focused tablet. Yay. You know, so maybe we hear about it in another way.
Yeah.
But we shall see. I think that's about it. What do you think?
I think I got a plane to catch to Seattle, so I'm all ready to say goodbye to you guys.
Excellent. All right, well, we're ready to say goodbye to you too. Of course, I'm going to see you tomorrow. I'm going to be on This Week in Google with you and Jeff Jarvis, and I'm sure
Dear
we're going to talk about.
What are we going to talk about now?
I don't know. We've already talked about this, so we'll have to come up with something else, or maybe we'll talk about this again. I'm not sure. Stacey Higginbotham, where do you want people to follow you online?
You can follow me at @GigaStacey. Or you can follow me at, let's see, what is it? Oh, the Internet of Things podcast, where we will also be talking about Google Home.
I know. You've got content for days, and it's all the same content, basically,
yeah,
on all the different shows.
Yeah, I'm going to just repeat. I should have recorded this.
Stacey, thanks so much for dropping in and joining Ron and I. We really had a great time. Thank you.
Super fun.
Awesome. Catch your flight. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. What about you, Ron? Where can people follow
you? Well, I'm going to chew on this for a little bit, and then I'll be joining you later this afternoon for Tech News Today, as well as All About Android. So this is going to be good. But just go follow me on Twitter at RonXO. It's where I post all my fun stuff. And if you want to see an extra special surprise, tune into All About Android tonight to laugh your butt off.
There's
a little tease.
There is. I think maybe just wink, wink at the top of the show. We have a little surprise to play for everybody.
It might be one of our finest moments in the 5 years of doing the show together. So we'll see.
It's definitely the next phase. We've graduated now based on this. Yep. So we won't overtalk it anymore. But join us for that later on today. But thanks again, Ron, and I'll see you in a couple of hours for more talk on the same topic.
I'll be here. Looking forward to it.
All right. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. I'm all over the Twit Network doing shows, Tech News Today with Megan Maroney normally, but later it will be with Ron, All About Android, Android App Arena, and live coverage when we have it, such as this. And you can find this and a whole lot more of our specials at twit.tv/specials. We cover live events like this. We also, Megan Maroney is at Dreamforce today. I'm going to Oculus Connect on Thursday. All that's going to hit the special stream. So twit.tv/specials and check it out. You won't miss a thing if you go there. Thanks for joining us today for live coverage of Google's Pixel event, and we will see y'all real soon. Take care.